wonderful opportunity of being with Dr. Gibbs on many opportunities, preaching with him and hearing him in many different venues. And one thing I can always say about Dr. Gibbs, no matter where you see him, whether it's in a church or in a restaurant or at a meeting somewhere in the airport, he's a gracious man that treats every person like you're the only person on planet Earth. Churches all across the globe are indebted to the Christian Law Association for standing in the corner of righteousness on many occasions when the people of God have been at the forefront of an onslaught of attacks without the resources, the manpower, or even the wherewithal to defend themselves. And thank God that God has raised up an organization that's not just an organization, but it is an organization made up of people who are not just part of an organization, but part of the family of God. Dr. Gibbs gets it. He is in churches. He is an advocate of the local church. He is a preacher of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many ministries are still able to shine the light of Jesus Christ because the Christian Law Association stood with them and defended laws that we didn't even know we had. And I'm going to tell you something. It's getting worse. While we speak, the powers that be are orchestrating, drafting, and penning legislation that will make it more difficult for us to shine the light. We're going to have to make some serious decisions whether we're going to obey God or obey man. And I hope that our minds have already made up that we're going to obey God. But along the way, it sure is good while we're obeying God, that we can have supporters and people that will stand in our corner to remind us that this great country was founded on principles and laws that stand for Christianity. And I appreciate Dr. Gibbs. I appreciate his friendship. And every time I've seen him, he's been a blessing to me personally, a blessing to our church, and a blessing to our ministry. We are thrilled to be able to stand with them and support the Christian Law Association, and thankful that they come to the defense at no expense, the churches all over this world, when it comes to our liberties that we have in America and in Jesus Christ. So I hope you'll give him your heart. I know he has a message from the Lord. He's thrilled to be here, but we're even more honored to have him here. So welcome to the pulpit and to COBRA, Dr. David Gibson.
Wow. My heart has just been overwhelmingly blessed in this service. I don't know what other words to use. If listening to this music and these testimonies and this incredible message from Pastor Simons didn't do something to you, then you are in spiritual trouble beyond description. Wow. I hope you understand what was in this auditorium tonight was not manufactured by man. It was literally manufactured by the Holy Spirit of God. And boy, if I'd have gone home after that choir number, the first one, and then Pastor Simon's message, I'd have been in church. But then that just came more and more. And this dear lady with her, I'm going to preach on grace tonight. And she sang about grace. And man, I trust you've come here looking for God to do something for you. There's something I've done hundreds of times, and I suspect some of you may have done it. Have you ever gone to church looking for nothing? Well, if you go looking for nothing, you'll find it every time. But my Bible says if you go knocking, thirsting, hungering, seeking, God has promised he wants to do something for you. Our nation is in serious trouble. Do you understand the great pastors of 10 years ago never saw the America we're living in right now? And if you'd have told them what's going to happen in America, they'd have said, no way. That will not happen. And yet here it is happening on our watch. I want to encourage you, this is the most exciting time to be a Christian in America that has ever existed. I truly believe this time is more exciting than even what the founders went through. Because the founders never thought these issues would become a fortitude in our country. And we're going to get a chance to stand and see what God can do. I won't preach on this much, but I hope you understand the next election is not the answer for America. By the way, no election ever has been the answer for America. The only hope for America is Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I have to remind folks, it's not conservatism that exalts a nation, it's righteousness that exalts a nation. And my experience is when you get with the conservative folks and you start talking righteous, they get very nervous because they don't want to hear that. And yet it is the only answer for America. I want to thank the Baldwins for the incredible thing they've done with this conference. I was sitting here looking at Mom and Dad. Thank you for what you put in the lives of these boys. Would you thank them for their life of what they've done? What you see on this platform is no accident. It's here by invested design. I love being with the Baldwins because I love their heart, I love their spirit, and I love the way they eat. I do. Boy, do they know how to eat. I don't know how Brother Lou stays thin. I think he's got a tapeworm or something. I just don't know. I went to the doctor and he said, I want you to lose some weight. And I said, okay, but he said, I'm going to give you a diet this time. And I said, what's the diet? He said, I want you to buy a juicer. How many of you know what a juicer is? It's a wicked thing. Nothing short of wicked. Not truly, if you don't know what it is, I mean, first time I saw it, I thought, sweet Alabama, what is that? You plug the thing in, and you stick a carrot or an apple or something in the top, and it goes, and out comes juice. And he says, here's what I want you to do. He said, for 3 weeks, I don't want you to put anything in your mouth that doesn't go through the juicer. I was in utter agony for 2 days. Then I made a profound discovery. A Snickers bar will go through a juicer. Don't worry about the smoke. Don't worry about the noise. Just keep pressing. It will go. Stand with me as we read from the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Peter and John have been arrested because they healed a lame man. A man who sat at the temple gate and was begging alms. And you know the story. The disciples said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we're going to give to you. Well, the fact that this man was healed has now stirred the crowd. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the very ones who crucified Jesus, are on them and they're saying, in whose name are you doing this? And the disciples are saying it, we're doing it in the name of Jesus, the one you crucified. Well, they put him in jail overnight and they let him go, and then they said, stop it. And by the way, we have churches, Christians, soul winners, bus workers, all over America every day who call our ministry who've been told, stop it. This is now at a rage in our country. But they go back out to their own after they've been released from jail, and starting at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And I apologize, Acts chapter 4, verse 23. I'm still thinking about the Snickers bar. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. Thou hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Christ. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken that they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And say out loud in unison the last phrase. And great grace was upon them all. Father, in these next few moments, I pray by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit, you'll speak to our hearts. My heart's been so blessed with the music, the testimonies, boy, that message of Pastor Simon's, how that touched my heart. But now, Father, may we leave here with a fresh anointing. Hear the cry of our heart in Jesus' name, and all God's children together said, amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us some amazing things in this story. They've just been released from jail. They've just been threatened, and the threats were not idle. After all, these men had watched Jesus be crucified by these same groups. And now they're saying, listen, stop it. Stop it. And they get out of jail. They're warned one more time. And they go back to their own and they do something incredibly amazing. They start praising God. They started thanking God for everything they were going through. They praised the Lord. I want to ask you this simple question. How good are you, not as a group, but as an individual? How good are you at praising God? Would your wife say you ought to hear him praise God? Would the husband say you should hear her praise the Lord? How many of you have children? Hold your hand up. How many of you know kids are God's little spies? How many of you are aware of that? Oh, they are. I wonder if the kids would say, forget church. You ought to hear mom and dad. Just as a child of God, praising the Lord. I'm afraid we get to where we praise the Lord when we come and we're led to do it. Where we're joining with others. And that's a wonderful experience. But the real key is not what you do in here. The real key is what do you do when you're alone? A woman was in Hollywood, California, staying at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, one of the most expensive hotels in the world. And while she was there, the actor Robert Redford walked in. And she ran up to Robert Redford and she said, are you Robert Redford? He said, yes, I am. She said, are you the real Robert Redford? She said, no, I'm not. She said, what do you mean? He said, the real Robert Redford is what I am up in that room when nobody's watching. He said, down here while everybody's watching, it's an act. The greatest acts in all the world are not in Hollywood or Broadway. The greatest acts in all the world are in churches. How's your praise? The Bible says that great grace was upon them. And if there was ever a day that we need great grace, it's this day. But it started with them praising. When I was 8 years of age, my mother contracted polio. It's still vivid in my mind to this day. I remember going down into the kitchen of our home. It was about 5 o'clock in the morning. My mother was fixing breakfast. And I remember when I walked in the kitchen, Dr. Baldwin, my mom turned to me and she said, David, run, get your dad. I think I'm really sick. And my mother walked from the kitchen through the dining room into the living room. She sat down on the couch and never walked again. Polio, spinal meningitis had come to our house. I watched her body begin to convulse. I watched her hands begin to gnarl and shake violently. I watched her gasp for breath. We called 911 and boy, they came and they said, we'll try to get her to the hospital alive, but this isn't good. And I'm 8 years old and I watched them take a tube and punch a hole in my mom's throat. And my dad said to him, is she going to live? And two of the MTs said, I don't think so. I watched him take her out the door. I didn't know when they took my mom that I wouldn't see her for 2 years. That for 2 years she'd be in a hospital struggling to survive. Struggling to breathe in an iron lung. And we just would live for the reports. Is she going to make it? My mom was the church pianist. Brother Michael Conservatory trained. Wasn't any music she couldn't play by sight. Juilliard's best product. We were at every service. We had our own key to the door. We were always the first to get there, the last to leave. Church was our life, and I loved it. But suddenly, our life came crashing down. And I remember thinking to myself, God, what in the world are you doing? This isn't right. This isn't fair. I know people never go to church. They got none of this. My mom loves you. My mom praises you. And for 2 years, we waited. Finally, they said, you're going to get to see your mom. I have a sister, Garnet. And how many of you have a sister? Hold your hand up. I'll never forget my sister. I can't take my sister anywhere I go because she knows too much. We're on our way to the hospital. It's been over 2 years now. And for the first time, we're going to see Mom. And I remember Garnet saying, now, David, don't say something stupid. You're always saying stupid stuff. And I said, Garnet, I just want to see her. Trust me. When you haven't seen your mom for over 2 years, we thought we were going to get to be by her. And when we got there, they said, there's a fresh outbreak, and we can't let you be by her. So we're going to put you in a room looking across a small courtyard, and we're going to pull your mom up to a window in the building across from the courtyard, and you'll talk on a speaker. And I thought, it's something. I just want to see her. By the way, don't you ever fail to hug your mom every time you get a chance. Every time. Because you don't know when the last chance might be. We were to be there at 10 o'clock, and I'm standing there with my sister. We're all dressed up. And a nurse came by the speaker on the other building, and she said, are you the Gibbs kids? And we said, yeah, we are. And she said, well, your mom's had a very bad night. She's in extreme pain. But she wants to see you. And we're trying to make it where she can. And we stood there for an hour and a half. And finally, they rolled an iron lung up. And when they brought it up, I could hear my mom's voice. She said, are my kids there? And the nurse said, yes, they're over there, Miss Gibbs. She said, turn my head so I can see him. And for the first time, I realized she couldn't move her head. I got upset. I said, God, you took her legs. You took her arms. You took her hands. You could have left her neck. You could have done that. They went to move her head, and she just screamed in pain. And my sister grabbed my hand and said, don't you say nothing. Finally, my mom is looking at us, and we're looking at her. But I'll never forget what she said. She didn't say, hello, how are you? She looked at me and she said, "Davy, don't you think that?" How many of you know moms can read their kids? And I did what every kid did. I lied. I said, "Don't think what, Mom?" My mom looked at me and she said, "Son, this isn't what I planned, but he's doing all things well." And we're to give thanks. When life puts a bear hug on you, what comes out? For the next 3 or 4 minutes, all my mom did was praise the Lord. And I thought, I don't get this. But I never forgot it. Because you see, when life puts something heavy, now your words carry moment and weight that no one will ever forget. Davy, he's doing all things well. As we got ready to leave, she said, "He's doing everything well, and he's in control." That's what happened in this passage. Read with me, if you would, at verse 24. I'm sorry, verse 24. "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord,'" now circle the word "Lord" there. That was the word for the all-powerful, despot God, the God with whom nothing is impossible. Nothing. "Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is. It was another year before my mom got to come home. But 500 times my sister and I said, 'Did you hear what Mom said?' My mom's in heaven now, but I was just with my sister about a year ago, and she said, 'Do you remember what Mom said?' I said, 'It's burned in my mind.'" What have you burned in your kids' minds? What have you burned in your mate's mind? If we're going to have great grace, it starts with us being a people of praise. When my mom got home, well, she couldn't do anything. She was strapped in a wheelchair. And our pastor came to see us. Now, we'd been quarantined for a long time because polio was so incredibly infectious. But our pastor came to see us, and it was not a good meeting. Our pastor came in, and he said, "Mrs. Gibbs, I just want you to know we've been praying for you, and here's my mom strapped in a wheelchair, can't hold her neck up." And my mom said, "Thank you." And he said, "But we took a church vote, and we don't want you to come back." We're afraid of your polio. And the church asked me to tell you we voted to have you never come back. Now, when he said that, I lost it. I thought, who in the world do you think you are? I decided that I was going to rearrange his teeth. I did. I was going to fix it where he brushed his teeth out the back of his neck. I was furious. I got up out of my chair and started across the living room with my fist balled up. I've never hit. I'm going to nail him. Would have been a career-ending move, but I was going to do it. My mom stopped me. She said, "Davey, you sit down." And I looked at her and she said, "You honor me, sit down." And I backed up and that preacher looked at us and he said, "Mrs. Gibbs, you need to understand something. God's through with you." Words that never leave your mind. Now, you know what went through my mind, Pastor? You may be right, but you're not going to say it to my mom. No, you're not. I remember what my mom said. She said, "Pastor," these were her quotes. She said, "I'm very damaged goods. I can't do anything. And I can't imagine anybody wanting me. But God's not through with me." Yeah. And my mom said, "I want you to pray that God gives me something to do. I can't imagine what, but pray I get something." He said, "Well, I will," and he excused himself and left. 2 days later, a new preacher came to our town to start a brand new church. And he stopped at our house and he said, "I don't have a church yet, but I'm going to put one here. And I heard that you've had a hard time and I just wanted to come pray with you." And my mom said, "I appreciate you coming by." She said, "Could I just ask you, would you pray God to give me something to do for him? I don't know what." What he did next blew my mind. He said, "Sure, I will." And like that, he got on his face on our carpet. And he starts praying. "Now, God, I don't know what this woman can do, but she wants to serve you." And he said, "My Bible says you're looking for servants. And here you got one." And I mean, he's just praying up a storm. And I'm sitting there listening to him, and I thought, I don't even know this guy, but I like him. Finally, he stopped and he said, "You know, Miss Gibbs," he said, "I got something to propose." He said, "You understand, I don't have a church, and so if I don't have a church, I don't have a Sunday school. But," he said, "I'm going to have a church and I'm going to have a Sunday school. Do you think you could tell Bible stories strapped in that wheelchair? Would you be willing to do the Sunday school?" And I remember when he said it, I thought, do the Sunday school? Do you understand? My mom can't dress herself. She can't feed herself. And before I could say anything, my mom said, "The one thing I can do is talk." And she said, "Adults are afraid of me, but kids aren't." And my mom said, "I'd be glad to do that." He left our house, and I said, "Mom, do you understand? He doesn't have a Sunday school." She said, but he's gonna.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. Oh, yes, sir.
Boy, he started the church. First Sunday, we're there. My mom did a Bible lesson, only two kids in Sunday school, my sister and me. And I can still remember, I thought, I'm going to be doomed to go to Sunday school with my sister the rest of my life. But every Sunday, she'd prepare a lesson like there were 1,000 kids there. Finally, one day, my mom came to me and she said, we got to get more kids in our Sunday school. And she said, I have an idea how to do it. I said, what's your idea, Mom? She said, the bus company uptown has a bunch of buses. And I want to go up there and ask them to give us some buses to get kids to Sunday school. I said, Mom, I don't think they give those buses away. I don't think they do. She said, I know. But I've been praying. Do you see what it says in verse 29? And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word. She said, I want you to take me up to that bus company, and we're going to ask them to give us some buses to get kids to Sunday school. I told my dad, I said, I can't explain this. Mom thinks they're going to do it because she prayed. How comfortable are you praying, never expecting something to happen? Came the day we were going to go up and talk to the bus company. We got my mom in the car. We drove up there, and when we got to the bus company, all the way there, she's praying. Now, God, she said, I got no money. They're going to think I'm foolish, but I'm begging you, do the impossible. I went around to get my mom out of the car, and we'd parked up next to a building. And something horrible happened when I went to get her out of the car. I was trying to get her in her wheelchair, and I accidentally dropped her. I would never hurt my mom. But when she hit the ground, she screamed. And she even passed out for a few minutes. And I'm hugging her, and I'm crying, and she's crying. And I said, Mom, let's go home. If God was in this, I wouldn't have dropped you. She said, no. God's in it. He's just got to know we're faithful. I got her back in her wheelchair, and she said, no, you got to dry my face. I don't want him to know I was crying. So I dried her face and we went in. A very nice young lady was at the counter there. And my mom said, we've come so you can give us some buses. And the lady said, you mean you want to buy them or you want to rent them? She said, no, we don't have money, but we've come so you can give them to us. The girl was very polite. She said, well, that's a new one. She said, I've never seen them do that, but let me make a call. She called the vice president of the whole thing, You could hear him. He's on the speaker. She said, there's a lady here who wants you to give her a bus. And the guy said, tell her to go away. We don't give them away. And the girl said, you come tell her. She's in a wheelchair. Ten minutes later, here he comes. And the man said, lady, I appreciate your honesty, but we're not going to give you a bus. No sense in you wasting our time or our wasting your time. And my mom said, well, thank you. But she said, could you answer me one question before I leave? He said, sure. She said, do you own the buses? And he said, well, I'm the vice president here. She said, yeah, but do you own the buses? Are they yours? And he said, no, they're not. And the little girl at the counter, she said, he don't own nothing around here. They're free. She said, he just acts like he does, but he doesn't. My mom said, who owns the buses? He said, well, the president. She said, well, no wonder you can't give me a bus. They're not yours. I got to talk to the man who owns them. He said, lady. And that quick, that little girl picked it up and dialed the president. And she said, he'll be right down. The president came down and he said, lady, let me tell you why I'm here. When you parked your car, you had no idea. You parked under my office window. I saw you fall. I heard you scream. I saw you cry. I saw what they had to do to help get you up. He said, I have never seen a bus matter that much to anybody. He looked at my mom and he said, I don't know what to do with you. My mom said, well, could I just give you one thought? She said, if you don't give me a bus, one day in eternity, God's going to be awfully upset with you. And I thought, Mom, will you lighten up? The man said, lady, let me ask you this. If I gave you a bus, who'd drive it? You? You got nobody to drive the bus. And my mom said, you know, I forgot. You're right. I got to have you give me a bus and a driver. Now, the vice president is there, and he said, listen to her. Will you just ask her to leave, please? And the owner said, no. I'm telling you. And he turned to that vice president and he said, one day you and me are going to be in eternity. And he said, this woman is troubling me. He said, okay, lady, here you go. I'll give you one bus, one driver, one Sunday. I'm only going to do one Sunday. I thought, I don't believe this. And my mom said, oh, thank you, thank you. She said, but there's two sides to our town, and I really need two buses and two drivers. I'll never forget what he said like that. He said, I will give you two buses and two drivers if you promise me that you'll be sure God knows about it. When I put Mom back in her car, I said, I don't believe this. You got a bus. She said, I didn't get it. God did that. God did that. He only gave us two buses and two drivers for 1 week, because the second week he gave us three. And within a year, he was giving us 40 to 45 buses and drivers every Sunday. The Sunday school with no kids in it, within 5 years' time, had just over 5,000 children in it. Then my lady, who couldn't wipe her own face, every Sunday she'd say, "Push me down by the buses." And we'd go down and she'd go bus to bus and tell the drivers, "Now put out your cigarette, you're going to church." And they'd say, "No, ma'am, we're not going." And she said, "Yes, you are." And like little ducks, they'd follow her into church. The man who owned the company wrote my mom a letter. He said, "The best thing I ever did was give you a bus." He said, "Because of you, my whole family's going to heaven." I'm going to heaven. And he said, "Almost every driver I have is going to heaven." My mom got this idea of going to the city and saying, "I want the city to agree to let anybody ride any city bus for free if they're going to church." The man who let us use his buses went with us. And my mom in her wheelchair, she said, "I promise you, you on this city council one day will stand before God. And I've been praying that bus owner stood up and he said, "Let me give you a word of advice." He said, "Immediately give her what she's asking for, because in a minute she's going to ask for more." When my mom went home to be with the Lord, they sent us a letter and they said, "Do you realize out of the Sunday school, there's 78 preachers pastoring today. There's 150 some missionaries. And we don't have an exact count of how many got saved, but it's in excess of 25,000. One lady who said, "I'm very damaged goods, but the God I serve isn't." Tonight I ask you this question. Do you want to live your life seeing what you can do? Or do you want to live your life seeing what God can do through you? And great grace was upon them all. I don't know what God's got for you to do, but 1,000 times I've thought of my mom when she looked at me and she said, "He's doing all things well, Davy. Praise him." And 1,000 times I thought of her saying, pray for God to use me. She said, I'm so damaged, I can't even think of a way. But God loves to do the impossible with damaged goods. We're living in a land that needs to see some people who are ready to live great grace. Bow your heads. Father, thank you. What a thrill. You never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. I want that great grace. I want that. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand high. If you got your hand up, I want you to get out of your chair and come to this altar. It's time to ask. Ask for that boldness. You have not because you ask not. The one thing my mom could do was pray. Impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. Never. And God wants to use you. He wants to use me. Father, I bow with these precious souls. Now it's our turn. Show this world what great grace is all about. There is no substitute for it. By your grace, by your power, we want this world to see what our God can do through a yielded life. Hear the cry of every heart here, I pray. In Jesus' name.